Praise God. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please take your seats. Praise God. You know, this life that we are called to live, this journey that we're called to, we are called to walk by faith. Amen. How many of you know that you're called to walk by faith? You know, and the thing about it is we are at war. How many times in Scripture does the Bible make it clear that we are soldiers, that we are warriors, that we are those who are taking ground, taking possession? And in a spiritual sense, that is the call of God on our lives. Say out loud, I'm a soldier. Because the Bible says I am. Amen. And you see, when we're soldiers, we're either, you know, there's always the war. Isn't that right? And we know who wins the war. How many of you know who wins the war? Hallelujah. But you see, there are battles. And battles come and go. And the life of a soldier means that I'm either at battle, in a battle right now, or there's one around the corner. Is that true? So how many of you, when you look at your lives right now, and I'm going to give some examples, it might be battles over sickness. It might be battles over debt, over financial lack. It may be battles in the office, in your workplace. It may be battles over your marriage. I don't mean in your marriage. Amen. It may be battles over the lives of your children, over your promotion, over your destiny, over your ministry. But how many of you would say, right now, I'm in a battle? Just lift up your hand. And you see, if your hand isn't raised, how many of you know that at some point in the next 6 months, you will be in a battle? Put your hand up if you know that. Put your hand up if you know that, please. So some of you think you won't be in a battle in the next 6 months. So let me remind you what the Bible says. Fight the good. Let's say it together. Fight the good fight of faith. So does that say that faith is a fight? So are you going to have to fight a battle? Say yes. You see, it's really important that when fights come that we don't go, oh my goodness, what's happening? Why has it all gone wrong? Amen. Instead, we say, okay, time to take up my weapons of war once again. Time to give the devil a hard time. You see, we are at war, and wars are made up of many battles. And I want to give you a battle strategy that is going to help you on the way to winning the war over your life and destiny. You know, God has an extraordinary plan for your life. The only plan for your life that ends up you being completely fulfilled. The only way to true happiness is fulfillment. I'm utterly convinced of that. And the only place where you can feel completely fulfilled is in the center of your destiny. And you see, God wants you to fulfill your destiny. How many of you here want to fulfill your destiny? But the enemy does not want that to happen, which is the place of virtually every battle that we have to fight. I want you to grasp this, because next time you find yourself in a new battle, don't go, oh no, why? Instead, go, okay, it's time to arise. It's time to fight again. Hallelujah. Well, I want to look, well, the first thing I want to do, and then we're going to look at some of the enemy's tactics. You know, if we just know how he operates, because there's nothing new under the sun, and if we can figure out how he's going to try and attack us and trip us up, and if we can be aware of that ahead of time, then when we see it coming, oh, yeah. And we know how to handle it. But before that, there's one prerequisite that before you fight any battle, now let me give you an example. Say you go to work and you suddenly hear that your entire department, bar two jobs, are going to be cut. And you think, oh, just signed a mortgage. Okay? Oh. So you've suddenly realized, you discovered at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, I'm not prophesying this, you understand, I'm giving an illustration. But you just discovered I'm in a battle that I didn't know I was in 2 days ago. Right? Sometimes we pick it up prophetically, but often we don't. And so you've just discovered that there's a battle on. You don't yet know the how of how God wants to bring you out the other side. We always want to tell God what to do. But how many of you know God actually does know best? Amen? He does know best. We really think we know best, but he really does know best. So you see, the news comes. Now, suddenly, I'm in a battle. Now, all you need to do that day is you just get through the day. You keep your head down. Don't talk to any people who are going to try and do all this to you. What's the first thing you have to do? This is the prerequisite before we get into my message. The first thing you need, shout it out. What's the first thing you need to fight a battle? A word. Who said a word? A word. Let me tell you, a soldier going to war without a weapon would be ridiculous. What does the Bible say the sword of the Spirit is? The Word of God. For every single battle we find ourselves in, the first thing we need, and let me tell you, last year's word isn't today's word. We need the Rhema word, the now word, like our pastor preached last Sunday. We need the word for right now, the word for this battle. You know, if you're a soldier going into different territories, you're going to use a whole different armory of weapons. We need the right word for that moment. And we're going to get that in prayer, seeking God, hearing from heaven. You see, you need chapter and verse. If we try and fight a battle without a word, it's like a soldier going to war without a weapon. How ridiculous. So that's the first thing we have to do. We get our words. So how many of you always do that? When you find yourself in a battle, you get a word. Wave at me. If that's what you already do, wave at me. Praise God. Carry on. The rest who don't yet, please make that your first port of call. Whenever I discover I'm in a battle, sometimes we know we're entering one. Other time, because it's an advancement. Sometimes it's to do with taking new ground. You know, when God in ministry speaks to me about going somewhere new, I know I'm now in a new battle because I've gone out pioneering to take new ground. So I need a word. I remember when we were first taking Healed for Life to America, I said, God, I need chapter and verse. The word you gave me for the UK won't work here. They speak a different language. I'm joking. Well, they really do. They haven't got a word. They don't have a clue about half of what we say. But we need chapter and verse for every battle, and then we've got our word. Now, let me explain what so often happens. You get your word, or you're in church. You hear the word preached. Isn't that right? And there's this battle that you're fighting, this issue that you're facing. And you're in church, and you're hearing the preaching, and your faith's building, and you're feeling stronger. You're now feeling good. You're knowing, I know, I'm on the winning side. I know that we're going to conquer. How many of you been there? And all is feeling good on the inside. You know you're a warrior. You know that God is able. You know, you sing the song, he's able to turn it all around and change everything. But then you get home. How many people go home after church? We get home and then life hits us. We get home and then, you know, the family starts talking. Or the colleagues start talking. Or the doctors start talking. Or the bills start talking. Have you noticed even bits of paper can talk? Donkeys can talk and so can bits of paper. The internet starts talking as you start researching and Googling this, that, and everything else. And suddenly all these different voices are saying all sorts of different things. And you've gone from faith to... And you see, what so many of us do is we go from this place of faith to doubt, faith to doubt, faith to doubt, faith to fear, faith to doubt. We're like an emotional or a spiritual yo-yo. How many of you remember yo-yos? We're like a spiritual yo-yo. I just want to read a scripture and then I want to share about how we can overcome these issues. If you can turn to James chapter 1, and I'm just going to read verses 6 to 8 in James chapter 1. And it says this, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything, ouch, anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, scripture is telling us that if we're going from that up and down place, and that's how, doesn't it feel unstable when we're in that? Doesn't it feel horrible? It's like being on a seesaw. Or like being out at sea and, you know, one minute, and then the next, you know, and really, it feels like this emotional roller coaster of highs and lows. Because one moment we're believing God and the next minute we're hearing the words of intimidation of the enemy and we're churning on the inside and full of fear again. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I want us to look at some of the enemy's tactics and how we can deal with that sucker. And amen. He is a sucker. I remember, you may have heard me say before, I used to think that I wasn't allowed to hate anyone because I was a nice Christian. And then I discovered that God, the Bible says that he anointed Jesus more than everyone else because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. It was like this wonderful moment of joy when I realized I'm allowed to hate Satan. And I do. I hate that sucker. I want you to hate that sucker too. He hates you more than you will ever, ever know. Right, we're going to expose the enemy's tactics, some of them. This isn't all of them, of course. Now, the first thing that the enemy tries to do is he comes at us with intimidation. Right. Intimidation. So you see, you know, you may have got your word in prayer that promotion doesn't come from the west or the east or from the south, but it comes from the Lord. Maybe you're in that work situation and that's the word that God gave you as you were praying and seeking him for a word. Promotion doesn't come from the west or the east. My boss is in the west or the east. My colleagues are in the west or the east. God is in control, right? So you get that word in prayer. You leave your prayer closet full of faith and then you go to work and suddenly your superiors start to speak words of intimidation. I remember being called into the office by my boss when I had applied for a promotion. And I'd applied for the first time as promotion to management. And I remember basically the guy who was going to be the decision maker was the director of our organization. And so it was a couple of jumps up from where I was. And he was the main decision maker on the panel, although there were going to be three or four people. And I'd made this decision, I'm going for it. I felt the Lord saying, Joe, it's time to start believing in the favor of God. And my husband, every morning that I left the house, would say, Joe, what have you got beginning with F? And I would say, favor. And then I'd walk out the house. Favor is mine. And I remember my boss calling me into his office and saying, Joe, we need to have a chat. Okay, certainly. You know, I thought he was going to say, tell me about your desire for the job. Tell me about why you think, you know, because, you know, I'm an internal candidate. So, and he said, I want to hear how you're going to handle it if or when you don't get the job. And I remember, it was like a trick question. You know, I remember sitting, looking at this man, staring at me. And he's basically saying, I want you to pull out of this application process because I think you're going to crumble if you don't get it. That's what he was saying. And I sat there and I said, I want you to know I'm committed to this organization. But I left his office thinking, oh my goodness, the decision maker himself doesn't even want me. I mean, what am I doing believing God? I felt all these different words coming at me saying, what on earth made you think that you could be a manager? You said it yourself a year ago that you'd reached the limits of your ability. And I'm hearing all these voices, intimidation. Now, I want you to hear what the psalmist said back in these situations. Psalm 109, verse 23, in the Amplified, please. It says, princes also sat and talked against me. Have you ever been there? What does a prince represent? A ruler, a power, an authority speaking against you. They sat and talked against me, but, say but. Say but. Your servant meditated on your statutes. In other words, do you know what? I'm not going to listen to the words of my boss. I'm not going to listen to the words of that doctor. I'm not going to listen to the words of those people saying my marriage will never make it. I am going to meditate on God's word to me. You see, let me tell you, never ever in the time of battle does believing God's word feel pleasurable to the flesh. Shall I say that again? Never in the midst of the battle do we want to say, I'm not going to believe that, because everything on the inside just wants to give up, wants to just be overwhelmed and just shrivel up. You see, we've got to fight back. A second one, and it's injustice. You know, this is a big one. You see, what the enemy tries to do is to, if he can get you distracted, say distracted. You see, you can either focus on the word, or we can focus on all the reasons why what's happening around us is unjust. We can either focus on the promises of God or get completely preoccupied and possibly offended by all the different reasons why what's going on shouldn't be happening, and this isn't fair and it's not right, and I don't want to be in this situation. Do you know what? Turn to your neighbor and say, get over it. Turn to the other neighbor and say, you too. You see, sometimes we got to realize this isn't a time for offense. This isn't a time to get wound up. This isn't a time to stop rehearsing all those arguments. This is a time to fight. You see, the enemy wants to distract you from the fight. Let's turn to Psalm 119 and verse 78. And it says, let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. He states it. Say, but. Say, but. Have you noticed how many buts there are in the Bible? But I will meditate on your precepts. You know, what does meditate mean? It doesn't mean it's going to be a fleeting thought. It means I'm going to think about. I'm going to process. I'm going to focus on. I'm just going to let your word go round and round my mind and my heart like a washing machine. I remember, if you don't know what I mean, I remember what my husband, when we first got married, he used to get so frustrated when I got ill. Because, you know, a cold would come or a sore throat, and I'd come home from work and go, I don't feel very well. And really what I meant was, please give me a nice big hug and wrap me up in love and be nice to me. But you know how he would respond? He would say, what word is stirring in your heart? Why are you complaining to me? Why don't you eat? And he would say to me, you know, whenever I feel symptoms try to come on me, the word of God is going round on the inside of me at 1,000 miles an hour. All I'm hearing speak to me is, by his stripes, I am healed. He said, Joe, you've got to stop listening to those symptoms. And when the slightest symptom knocks at the door, you've got to let faith arise on the inside. You know, we've got to make a decision about what we're going to think about. I will meditate tells me that that psalmist was making a decision. He was using his will. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will. Say, I will.
I will.
I will. It's a choice. My brother, my sister, every time thoughts try to intimidate, every time self-pity tries to drag us down into, oh, it's not fair, my life's worse than everyone else. Well, we have a choice to say, I will meditate on your promises. I will fight back against what the enemy is trying to say to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imprint. Let me tell you what the enemy also tries to do. He wants to imprint images that will intimidate. So again, suddenly, your mind is going off. And instead of picturing promotion and yourself as one of the two people that got selected when the whole department lost their jobs, your mind has gone with bills landing on the doorstep, me not being able to pay the mortgage. Suddenly you're seeing pictures of what are they called? Bailiffs at the door. Your mind is full of pictures. You know, maybe it's a sickness and you've got some symptoms and you're Googling. How many of you have Googled? You know, Google is useful when you're full of faith. When you are in a place of doubt, fear, and unbelief, keep Google out of your life. Are you listening? Google's a great friend when you can get the facts to help direct your prayers. But otherwise, it's not useful. What does it say in Psalm 119, verse 37? Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. Sometimes those pictures, those stories, you know what? You need to focus on the ways of the Lord. Now, this fourth one I want to talk about. You know what the enemy really loves to do? He loves to torment you. He loves to torment you. He wants to torment you with worry, with anxiety, with fear, with the what ifs, with every possible eventuality that isn't the way that you want the story to end. He tries to torment you. And, you know, this is the way the enemy speaks. I want to turn to Job chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 12. Job chapter 4. And it says, now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a whisper of it. Let me make that practical. Let's look at health now. That lump under your arm. Words secretly brought to me. You suddenly hear the enemy saying to you, that lump under your arm looks, it's been growing every day. That lump under the arm is really ominous. That's a really bad lump. That doesn't look good. It's going green, you know, and you hear the words secretly brought. If we go back to the work analogy, the words secretly brought to you is those two people, they're the favorites. You're never going to get it. Not only that, you're not marketable. No one's going to want you. The words secretly brought to you. My ear received it. You know, we choose whether or not we listen to those words of intimidation. You know, I remember a season in my life where literally every season for I don't know how many years, my love, maybe 10 years, I had someone in my life, like close up and personal, who scared the living daylights out of me. I was so intimidated by them. Wasn't you remember, my love? And there was always someone. It could be at work. It could be at church. You might look at me and think, I used to be so easy to intimidate. And there would always be one. And I remember when there was one particular woman, and she was the most controlling, manipulative person in the whole of my company, this big city company I was working for. And not only that, but she was having an affair with the chief executive. And guess who was suddenly made her new line manager? I'm like, literally, I'd be just the very thought of having to ask her to do anything terrified me. I'd be like, yeah, let's pretend her name was Thelma, which it wasn't. You know, Thelma, do you think you could possibly? I was terrified. But you know, until I learned to deal with intimidation, there was always somebody who intimidated me in my life. Because you see, God will not, what does the Bible say? That God left nations surrounding Israel, enemies surrounding Israel, that they may learn to wage war. You see, God wanted me to overcome intimidation. So he was going to put people in my way. It wasn't their problem. You know what? If you or I get intimidated, it's not their problem. It's our problem. If someone intimidates you, it's an opportunity to conquer intimidation. You see, a word secretly brought. My ear received it with a whisper. Next verse. Disquieting thoughts. Doesn't that happen? So first it's a little whisper in the ear. Now we're feeling all troubled, disquieted, concerned, anxious. Now this is the other thing. How many times when there's something that we haven't really resolved in the daytime, you put your head on the pillow and suddenly you're wide awake. Everyone else in the house is asleep and you're wide awake worrying, how are we going to pay the bills? Where's that going to come from? How on earth am I going to see my son or daughter come home safe? When is there going to be a transformation in their lives? Oh my goodness, what if they're out right now doing this? What if this is happening? What if my boss is right this moment having a drink in a bar with that other employee? You know, suddenly we're lying in bed at night and we're tormented. You know, that is the plan of the enemy. So what are you going to do at night? When you're lying on your bed and all those thoughts have started to arise on the inside again, I want us to look again at what the psalmist did. In Psalm 119, verse 148, listen to this. Psalm 119 and verse 148. My eyes are awake through the night watches. This isn't a but. You know, everyone else is awake worrying. But the psalmist said, that I may meditate on your word. You see, I want to encourage you in the middle of the night when the enemy's trying to do chit, 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 chat. Did you know emotions are heightened at night? Yes, emotions are heightened at night, which is why you should never have really sensitive conversations with anyone late in the evening or at night. Emotions are heightened. So you're more likely to end up full of fear at night. And that Job verse goes on to say that I ended up full of fear and trembling. If we don't stop the enemy in his tracks, we will end up under a cloud of intimidation. But you see, what did, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones shake. But you see, the psalmist said, I'm going to meditate on your word at night. And think about it. This word meditate, it's more than think. It means I'm going to chew over. I'm going to imagine. I'm going to softly repeat over and over again. You know, so what you're doing is at night instead, you're dreaming. Wow, you know what? I'm the one who's going to get that job. You know what? There may be 30 others that end up being out of work and I'm going to pray for God to provide for them too. Amen. But you know what? I'm going to be one of the two. If it happened to my pastor, do you remember that time when his entire department lost their jobs and one employee got kept on out of how many? 56. If it happened for him, it can happen for me. And you can picture yourself in the middle of the night, planning the testimony, seeing yourself climbing on the altar and saying, I've got a testimony. I want to share my testimony. You can picture yourself speaking to your boss and saying, thank you. Yes, I accept. Where do I have to sign? You see, we've got to fight back against the enemy. Hallelujah. So you see, faith is a fight. I want to ask Yemi and Junior just to come and help me. And there's an obvious reason why I've asked Yemi and Junior. Say, faith is a fight. Say, faith is a fight. You see, it's not about how big the enemies seem at the time. Right. It's not about how big they seem at the time. You see, the plaques first, thank you. No, please, one this side and one the other. Honestly, that's the enemy. They just want to wander around, do their own thing. Won't stay where you've told them to. You know what? 90% of your enemies can be summed up in these two. Doubt and fear. You know, I remember speaking to a friend of mine, a leader, and, you know, she was talking about sickness. He's growling. And she'd just lost someone she loved. And, you know, in those situations, you know, you could lose someone to heart disease. You could lose someone to a stroke. And then suddenly your view is, yes, I know that enemy is the final, that death is the final enemy, but heart disease is the penultimate enemy. Because you suddenly see this awful thing that happened as kind of somehow next to death. And I said to her, you know, it could be cancer. It could be going through bankruptcy. And suddenly you see it as almost like the penultimate enemy. And I said to her, I said, I don't believe that at all. I said, do you know who I believe is the penultimate enemy? Fear. Fear. I want you to stop and think about what giants intimidate you just by you thinking about them. Maybe there have been generations of divorce in your family. And divorce to you is like, you're afraid of marriage because you're afraid of divorce. You're afraid of alcohol because you're afraid of alcoholism. So just the slightest sight of, now obviously, you know, we don't want anyone to become an alcoholic. But you understand what I'm saying? Suddenly, the very sight of something that whiffs of something else, and it creates fear on the inside. Fear, you see, intimidation, torment. What are they trying to do? Put fear on the inside of you. Oh, I'm never going to get the job. Oh, what if I don't? You see, the thing is, fear is the opposite to faith. Faith is believing God's word, and fear is believing the threats of the enemy. We can't get anything from God when we're afraid. Jesus even said to people, do not fear, only believe. We have to deal with fear before we can believe. And fear is our enemy. Doubt. You see, what did the passage in James say? Anyone who doubts, if we're up and down, in and out of believing, and then back into doubting, oh no, I just don't think it can happen. You know what? He does it for other things. He wouldn't do it for me. Oh my goodness. You know, why would God give me my papers? I've seen it happen for others, but you know what? I'm just going to be stuck in this rut the whole time. I'm never going to be able to get a proper job. I'm never going to be able to get my driving license because it's just going round and round, and I'm going to... Doubt. And you see what happens? Put them on, gentlemen. Those ones. You see, let me tell you something about the devil. He's determined to derail your destiny. He's determined to hurt you. He does not want you to fulfill your God-given purpose on earth. So you see, you might think, oh, I'm a bit tired today. I don't really feel like praying. I don't really feel like fighting today. I just want a day where I just feel sorry for everyone. Anyone else ever felt like feeling sorry for themselves for a day? Come on, tell the truth. You know, sometimes we just don't feel like it. Do you think the devil ever gets tired of fighting? Do you think fear will ever give up on trying to torment you? You see what they're doing. You know, they just start to box you. Come on, both of you, at me. Not too hard. And they're coming at you. One thing after another. You've just walked out of church. You didn't get past the parking lot, past the car park. And before you're out there even, someone said, gosh, you don't look well today. What's wrong with you? You think, oh my goodness, that lump under the armpit. You know, maybe the lump has now got into my digestive system. Then someone else, you know, you're at the traffic lights, you know, and you hear this lyrics of a song coming out of the car next door. Why bother believing? Nothing ever, you know what I'm saying? And it's coming at you in every direction. And you're remembering, I got God's word. I need to fight back. So you're saying, by his stripes, I'm healed. Promotion doesn't come from the south. It doesn't come from the west. It doesn't come from the east. You know what? The favor of the Lord surrounds me. The favor of the Lord surrounds me as with a shield. I'm going to come out of this stronger than I went in. You know what? The word says that there was a long battle between the house of David and the house of Saul. But David grew stronger. David grew stronger. And so, you know what? Fear. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I declare promotion does not come from the south or the west or the east. It comes from above. My God is able. My God is able. You know what? I remember what he did for me last year. He's going to do it again. The same God who promoted me in 2014, he's able to promote me again. I'm not going to listen to the doubts of the enemy anymore. Promotion doesn't come from the south or from the west. It comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, the fight will continue. I want you guys to stay there. You know, listen, I want you to hear this good. You know when you've destroyed fear in a certain situation, then it may come up in some other situation. And you'll know when you've destroyed it in that situation. You'll know when doubt has lost its power, because something on the inside just says, I know that I know that I know that the promises of God will come to pass in my life. I know it, and no demon from hell could ever convince me otherwise. So you see, the key is saying, I'm going to get in the boxing ring. Are you listening? Faith is a
fight.
Faith is a
fight.
I'm going to get in the boxing ring and I will fight against that enemy until he is flattened by the word of God. I want to ask you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aaron, or thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, fear is out for the count. We'll just know. Let's not bother trying to raise fear up. Praise God. I want to lead you in some declarations as we close, if that's okay. Because you see, whether you're in a battle now or a battle is coming, you need to make up your mind. So just shut your eyes and lift up your hands in the presence of God. And let's declare what the psalmist declared. So say right now, declare, I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. You see, we're going to think it, number one. Number two, we're going to declare it. Let's shout together. I shall declare a thing, and it shall be established in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now I want you to put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.